This is Soundside. I'm Libby Denkman. The Marvel film Black Panther offers a lot to amaze audiences. Stunning CGI, a roster of A-list actors, but the finer details that make Wakanda what it is aren't acted or computer-generated. They're sewn together, stitch by an entire team off-screen. Ruth Carter won an Academy Award for her costume work on Black Panther. She also has a resume that spans decades of legendary film work, including Malcolm X, Amistad, Selma, and Do the Right Thing. Carter's artistry is on display right now at the Museum of Pop Culture, also known as MoPOP, at Seattle Center. KUOW arts and culture reporter Mike Davis went to see the exhibit up close and also spoke with Carter about how she views the generational impact of her work.
We are at the MoPOP Museum. We are experiencing the Ruth E. Carter Afrofuturism in Costume Design exhibit. The exhibit looks amazing. I know that that is not the best to explain to an audio audience, obviously. There's no other way I could say it. It's breathtaking.
Even if it's like an African violet, we might have a picture of that on our board because the colors of nature are so beautifully put together that we want to connect that to this garment.
For me, just growing up in the culture, in the time period that I grew up in, I'm just seeing so many movies that I had seen in my childhood that I didn't even realize that Ms. Carter worked on. So it's mind-blowing. I know that, you know, I had seen some highlights before I came in here, but, you know, I remember watching Amistad as a kid, for example, and Malcolm X, Do the Right Thing.
Give us us free!
Because if I was an American, the problem that confronts our people today wouldn't even exist.
You almost knocked me down, man. What is excuse me?
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
You know when guys like you go down for good.
I remember watching Shaft with my dad.
Aspirations. When they try and rise above this.
And just to be in the place where all of these costumes are and they're all together and to just walk through is... it's like taking a trip down memory lane. It's just, it's amazing to be here and that they were able to put this whole collection together. You got Roots and then you have, you know, the 90s with Do the Right Thing, and they're all kind of in a circle with Black Panther right in the middle. And it just ties all of these elements that Ruth has been pulling from and putting all of these things together. And it culminates in the movie that won her an Oscar, by the way. The movie that my daughter is the most excited about getting pictures and seeing is this Black Panther exhibit. It's amazing. But then there's more. I mean, you get to walk around the corner and there's even more. So like the Malcolm X is kind of tucked in the back, and the butler is tucked over there, and you have all of these sketches that are here. It's amazing. I love the staging.
All of these elements together become your voice. No one element can be your voice. It really is a matter of how you orchestrate this picture all together on one page.
My name is Gina, and I'm here at the Ruth E. Carter exhibit, which is outstanding. It's such a breath of fresh air from Amistad all the way to be in the presence of Wakanda when Wakanda 2, Black Panther, is getting ready to come out. She just takes our history from the past to the future. And to have children grow up now and have these images where I didn't have these images, to dress up as a powerful superhero for Halloween, and then to be in one place and see your history from its glory, from its insurmountable odds, without seeing the films that she's done, without the words, but the costuming is just a language in itself that she's mastered, and I'm just glad to be alive to have seen it.
Reading line by line all of the movies that Ruth Carter worked on doesn't do any justice to the experience of actually walking through and seeing all of the staged dressed mannequins together with the infographics that kind of tie all of those pieces together. I mean, just the breadth of her work is just amazing. It's amazing that one person was able to contribute so much to the culture of these movies. So before we get started, I just want to be clear. Is it okay if I call you Miss Carter?
Yeah, you can call me Ruth, actually. I just got a burning question that I had as I walked through your exhibit. Coming into this interview, you know, my 9-year-old daughter commanded me to ask you about Black Panther. But for me, myself, I mean, I wanted to ask about Radio Raheem and Mookie. But when I was in your exhibit at MoPop, I seen this older Black woman, actually, and she was looking at images of Denzel Washington playing Malcolm X, and she was literally like tearing up as she was experiencing that. And, you know, this question, it might not even be a question, but it's just that your work has literally spanned generations. Like, what does it mean for you to have that type of legacy that impacts people in such a way over such a long time period?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. Thank you for giving me that experience you had. I feel so blessed to have been able to take a passion that I had for telling stories, about African Americans, for telling stories about the diaspora, and the passion that I felt for those stories. I was fortunate enough to have projects that enabled me to delve deep into the history, the culture, the passion, the love, and express that in so many ways. I think of films like Malcolm X and looking at images of Harlem in the 1940s and really wanting to connect the images of his journey to the places that he went and the places that I saw and the energy that I felt when I walked through the streets of Harlem. And the same is for Brooklyn Bed-Stuy and Do the Right Thing. You know, I felt a kinship, and I wanted that kinship to be expressed in the clothing that everyone wore in the film, that it was a community, it was a family. And part of that passion that goes into the costuming and the storytelling and costuming transfers. I know from advisors that I've had, teachers that I've had, that they would always tell me that you can put your heart and soul into something and no one's really going to read your heart and soul. They're going to feel your heart and soul. They're not going to know, well, you know, I cried that night and I want to put the passion into this picture, this costume of my emotions in that experience. No one will know exactly what you cried about, but they will know that you cried.
Wow. Wow, that's powerful. That makes me think of something else. You know, as I was walking through that exhibit and I was looking at the Black Panther, like the Black Panther exhibit is like smack in the middle of all of these other pieces. Mm-hmm. But people see that movie and then they go dressed like the characters, you know, like Black Panther 2 is going to come out. People are going to show up to the movie theater dressed in all of these costumes, and they're all based off your designs. I mean, what does it mean to you as a creative that you can literally walk around and see people wearing the things that you had made?
It's an ongoing celebration to see people dressed in things that they are connecting to from the film. It's an ongoing celebration. It's you know, it's an honor to affect, you know, the culture at large as well, to watch, you know, people really reacting to the trailer of Wakanda Forever, to see them going to the movie theaters dressed in their African finest, their Ankara fabrics, their kente cloth, whatever they have. It's an ongoing celebration, and I feel like we love the celebration of culture. We love to celebrate ourselves in this way, and we were able to connect to a really deep-seated root, and that is the place where we have all come from.
That's very true. That's very true. Mm-hmm. And, you know, another way that I would say that your work has impacted us, and I definitely mean us, is that, you know, I remember seeing Amistad as a kid. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing Roots as a kid, like, you know, my parents showing me these films. And I mean, that shaped the way that I saw my people in that time period, like the way they were dressed, the way they appeared on screen. I mean, that's how we remember those things. But for you as an artist, what is the process like of trying to balance creativity with historical accuracy?
Well, historical accuracy is first, and understanding like the why people wore what they wore, how they wore it, what fabrics they had available, how they dyed the cloth, how they spun the cloth. You know, the awareness of that leads you like through your first phase of the process, you know, and then gathering the materials and looking at the times, the silhouettes, you know, reading. A lot is written. More is written than you actually can see in photographs or etchings or paintings. There's more written. So I work with historians that make recommendations, reading recommendations. They tell us, you know, how sometimes what we look at is deceiving. We are receiving it in a way with these eyes that are modern, that are contemporary, and the historians help see in the intent that it was painted in. So sometimes the images are redirecting in a negative way. And so you really do have to do the research on what you're looking at. You can't take things for face value. And I'm always thinking about the positive side of history and, you know, what we were able to do in spite of our circumstances, what we were able to achieve in spite of the danger and the laws, and, you know, how we found joy and how we elevated ourselves. And I'm always looking for clues to Africanisms, you know, anachronisms, you know, sometimes mean that we bring in culture and history on top of the actual research. So I'm always trying to layer things and teach a little bit, because I was affected like you by movies that I saw and wanted to be, you know, one of those people who created those images for others. And I did become that. And so it became like a responsibility to me to make sure that what I put out there is something that I could stand behind and be proud of. So my process, you know, does involve being, you know, truthful and honest as best I can, and also artistic, you know, and bringing colors together and vibrancy together and balancing that, you know, not to over-design, but not to under-design either.
That's, it's interesting in there too, that you touched on your responsibility to the culture, because I read in a Vanity Fair article that you originally had studied to be an actor and you had a role in college that you didn't get. And then they offered you to be the costume designer. What do you think would have happened? Like, what would the impact be if you had have become the person wearing the costumes instead of the person designing them?
Oh, I would have probably found another way of self-expression. I feel now that, oh, wow, guess what? You're an artist. So it really didn't matter what chose you. You were going to use your art to express yourself. And so if I had become an actress, maybe I would have been active in all different ways. I feel, you know, I was connected to theater, so I probably would have never given up my love for performing on stage. Maybe this medium of film would have found me. Maybe I would be in New York. I don't know.
I've mentioned quite a few movies of yours that have impacted me and people around me, but I mean, what impacts you? What's memorable to you? I mean, I know it's a lot to go through, but if you had to pick out some pieces or a movie specifically that speaks to you, what would be most memorable?
Oh, I loved Lady Sings the Blues. It was one of the big reasons why I wanted to do this profession. I love really great performances. So, you know, I love actors that really bring it, you know, to the, you can tell they've done the homework and the research. And the Tom Hardys out there, the Riz Ahmeds out there, there's the Viola Davises out there that I respect so much and know that they make good choices and want to see everything that they do. I like to go on this storytelling journey.
I love hearing you speak about all of these things because you speak in such a technical way. And for me as a viewer, I just see things and I think they look cool. And I want to go back to do the right thing. And who picked the sneakers? You know, sneaker culture is huge. I'm a big part of it. Who picked the sneakers in that movie? Is that all you?
Oh, that's all Spike Lee. And, you know, he was the first person to say that I knew that, you know, there was a sneaker jam in his film. You know, he had a sneaker jam every year at the Puck Building in New York, and it was a requirement to wear, you know, sneakers. And you better be wearing some Nikes. So he really kind of got us all started in that. It's so funny how, you know, he had the foresight, you know, but we would wear those sneakers to his sneaker jam, and he picked Mookie's tennis shoes. He picked the Jordans for Radio Raheem and for Bugging Out. He was the Air Force Ones, I believe, that Radio Raheem wore. He was the one who dictated, you know, what shoes people would have on, and it was my first indoctrination to sneaker culture.
So I want to touch on the concept of Afrofuturism. The exhibit at MoPOP, you know, it's right there in the title. But for our listeners who aren't familiar, can you talk us through the concept of Afrofuturism and how you incorporate it into your work?
Yeah, Afrofuturism, you know, does have some science fiction, some sci-fi, and it's looking at, you know, African culture, Black American culture, the African diaspora. It's mixing technology with, you know, leading technology with science fiction, and then it answers the question of what if. And for Black Panther and Wakanda Forever, the what if is, you know, we had a place like Wakanda that was not colonized, is leading in technology. You know, what world would that, how would that look? But I also think that Afrofuturism is any culture that is using the culture as its base and taking it into the future with technology, and using a lot of the techniques that are traditional, but also using techniques of 3D printing and for costumes, you know, all kinds of techniques and ideas that bring a community and a culture together in a futuristic way. So, you know, I like to think of Afrofuturism as for everybody, as long as you are embracing culture and moving it forward and thinking of it in this aspirational way.
Future projects. Do you have anything coming up that you're excited about?
Yeah, I'm working on Blade with Mahershala Ali, the new Blade.
Ooh.
And he's excited and we're excited and we're building this character. He's gotten a blessing from Wesley Snipes to carry the mantle. And we're all carrying it. You know, we're all responsible for helping Mahershala get to that point that the fans of Blade will be excited. And I'm excited to do it, to be a part of it.
That is exciting. Is there any sneak peek of what the new Blade is going to look like?
I cannot. You know, I am horrible. And there is a tight ship over here.
I know how that goes. I had to ask. Ruth, thank you so much for the time. I truly, truly, truly appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. It's been an honor to be able to talk about my story. And thank you for bringing your daughter to the exhibition. And it means a lot to me that the generations do enjoy it, that you expressed what you saw. And that's really why I wanted to put it out there, and why I wanted to travel around.
That was KUOW Arts and Culture reporter Mike Davis in conversation with Academy Award-winning costume designer Ruth Carter. Coming up, how backyard birds responded when we were all inside during the pandemic. You're listening to Soundside on KUOW.